We're going to be in the book of Revelation this morning, and I would like for you to turn to the first chapter. Lord, we thank you for Darby and her heart for you, and not only in her singing, but just I was getting to know her just by her prayer there of the relationship she has personally with you. I pray that this morning you will remind us again of the personal relationship that you wish to develop with each one of us. Lord, we know the world is definitely falling apart, and we just ask for your help in our country, in our city, in our state. We pray in Jesus' name that this word will be what Hebrews 4 says, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we'd like to ask that now you would open up our understanding to absorb your knowledge. And Lord, we'd like to tell you this morning that we love you. And we thank you for your mercy and for your loving grace towards each one of us. So if any have come in with a heavy heart or a burden, we just ask for that to be lifted, just even as your word is being taught. If there's any that are suffering, we pray that you'd give them a time of peace and comfort during this time of worship through the word. So bless all of the families and extended families of this congregation here. Be honored in every life that is here. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, and I'm really happy that we are. I found some things recently that I hadn't thought of before, and the reason I've chosen this for this morning is that we're getting close to Easter and Good Friday service at Balboa Park, and if the first chapter of Revelation were never given, I don't think we'd have much hope. Our last story would have basically been in our minds of him ascending off of the Mount of Olives into heaven, and that would be it. But this is at a time after he's already ascended into heaven, and he's appeared. So this is a chapter, though it's opening up the three main divisions of the book of Revelation to us, it is also reminding us that Jesus is real, and he's not a religion. He was crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb. In fact, he was so poor he didn't even have his own tomb. A rich man gave up his spot and let Jesus lie in his family burial spot. We want to take a moment and think about what if he appeared to us today. We're going to read from a man that God has really blessed, John. He was a teenager when Jesus said, "Follow me." And he and his brother left their father's fishing business and followed Jesus from that time on. This man had a special insight, I think, because he wrote the Gospel of John, 21 chapters. Then he wrote 1 John. Then he wrote 2 John. Then he wrote 3 John. Then he wrote the Revelation of Jesus. It's pretty profound, really, and his message that is threaded all the way through is the love of God and how Jesus represents the love of God and gives the love of God. And when you look at all four or five of these writings that he had, you will see that God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. What if you had a parrot in your house that just all day, "God loves you, rah." A lot of Christians are like parrots. They're only repeating something. They don't really have it in their heart yet. Praise the Lord. Ah! We're going to look at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And by the way, look in your Bible on the top of the page. And some Bibles have the revelation of St. John or the revelation of John. And it's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. John is stunned that he's meeting Jesus. He was exiled on a volcanic island called Patmos in the Mediterranean. That island is still there. The volcano is dormant, and people live where John lived at the time of the first century. He's so loved by the church. He's one of the last remaining people on earth that knew Jesus personally and served with him and worked alongside of him and saw so many miracles that were performed by Jesus. Again, he saw it all through the filter of love, which is very, very unique. So his perspective is important for us because he's reminding us that Jesus resurrected from the dead. And sometimes even Christians forget that, and the fire goes out in their heart. But when you remember that he raised Jesus from the dead to show you how much he loves you, that you will be raised from the dead. If not, you'll be taken when the church goes up, when, as Paul said, for those of us that are alive and remain, we shall be caught up in the clouds, always to be together with him. So some people will be alive at that time. So I want to point out the revelation to you, first of all. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants. So you're included. Things which must shortly take place. So he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now we have a word that probably everybody has heard at some time. There's movies titled it. There's books titled that. The apocalypse. And the apocalypse is a variation of this revelation. Let me give you an idea. There's a statue that's going to be dedicated in a town square. And all the officials come to it at noontime, and most of the city comes. And so everybody knows there's something there. I mean, it's really big, but it's covered up with a, like a tarp, let's say. Got the picture? Big statue, covered up. You know it's a statue, but you don't know what it's about, but it must be important because though it's covered, it's pretty big. The word unveiling is when the mayor comes up and pulls the cord and the blanket comes off and the statue is revealed. That's the revelation. It's covered, but now it's open and everyone can see it. So it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And this book is simply, you could get complex with it, but I like to say simply just three sections. This section, Jesus as he is. Second section is chapter 2 and 3, the age of the church. Chapter 4, John's caught up in the spirit and goes to heaven, and he begins to describe what's going on in heaven. Chapter 5, no longer the church is in heaven because he says they were praising the Lord for the blood of the Lamb, for he has redeemed us from every nation, kindred, and tongue. Angels were never redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So it's important you realize this, that this is about him revealing himself, part one, to John, setting up for part two, the age of the church, in chapter 3. 7 major areas in Asia at that time that the church was planted, and more churches were coming out of them. So this is a revelation of Jesus at the time. I have risen, John. And yes, there's going to be 7 golden lampstands. Each one represents the church, which is important because in chapter 2 and 3, he has a letter that he has written to each church. And the 7 lampstands represent those churches with the flame burning. And Jesus is seen in the midst. But in chapter 4, you never read about the church. It's over. So chapter 4, he's up in heaven and he's saying, what in the world's going on here? He describes the worship and singing and God on his throne. And chapter 5, God has a scroll in his hand and it says that nobody on earth or under the sea or in heaven has the authority to take this scroll from God's hand. And John began to cry. And then he looks up and there was one that looked like a lamb that was slaughtered. And he walked and he took the scroll. That was the Lord Jesus, of course. So these 7 seals are very, very normal for that era in that location on the earth. And it was sealed. Nobody could open it. Could be like a court record is being sealed or a document for purchasing a piece of land. Now, some commentators and many Bible teachers lean to the idea that in some form, this is a title deed to planet Earth. And we know that Satan came to Earth and he brought his bad boys with him. And then he took control of Adam and Eve and stole their birthright. And all the children after Adam and Eve would be prisoners on the planet, ruled by a mean, devious, fallen angel. And he would be so deceptive that he wove a story through everybody's mind. He revised history every few years, like we've seen in the last 20 years, in the last 5 years, in the last year, many things being erased from history books. So Jesus comes and reveals to us that he had the authority. And the angel said to John, "Why are you crying?" And he was crying because nobody had the right to redeem. And then he realized Jesus did. Jesus had paid the price. In chapter 6, definitely don't see the church from there until the very last chapter. What you do see is the four horsemen of the apocalypse, of the revelation, of the unveiling. And there's war and famine horse. There's the prince, the false prince. And you go through all of that. And then chapter 7, you get all the judgments. There's going to be problem with our earth rotation. In Isaiah, it says that the earth in the last days, the earth will roll a rock to and fro like a drunkard. And it shall be removed like a cottage, that you could quickly go get a summer cottage and knock it down with a tractor. So that's going to be a horrible situation. We're a little bit out of orbit now. We have a 23-degree angle tilt with our axis in the middle, and that's because it allows the Earth to rotate. And as it's rotating, God designed it that it would go around a certain star that we call the sun. And it would take 365 days for that to happen. And when it comes back, you have your four seasons. But if it's 25 or 35, there's no way that the planet's going to get the amount of sunlight that it needs. So we do know from the Old Testament that the earth is going to have a horrible time. And God says that, behold, I will make or create a new heaven and a new earth. And you will not have any needs whatsoever. And you'll need no light in your new city that you're going to live in. Which, by the way, we never see New Jerusalem coming out of heaven, never ever lands on earth. And it has 12 gates with made out of pearl. And one angel, like a doorman at a fancy hotel, standing at each door. And it is for God's children. It does say, though, that for those that live on the earth, that they can come up there and do business of some sort. So I look at the space shuttle program, and I realize, well, we're going back and forth all the time. The people don't know what they've been doing, but God knows. So this is the introduction. And you wouldn't think there's anything in an introduction. But this really caught me by surprise last week in Guatemala. I left after church Sunday and went down to Antigua, Guatemala to teach in a Bible school, in a school much like the Horizon School of Evangelism. And one evening, they asked me to speak. I was teaching all day for the week. And I was studying and praying over Revelation, and bang, it hit me. If this weren't here, we wouldn't have any hope. So God in his great wisdom knew what he is doing if you never went any further than chapter 1. So read along with me the revelation, and then we'll make some comments. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now look where he got it. He got it from God. God gave it to him. For what reason? To show his servants. And what is it that he wants the servants to see? I'd like to point out some things to you here. Number one, things which must shortly take place. And then he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So this is written to John, and John is to give it to the church. And then we see the end times. It'll be spread to the whole world. Things that must come to pass. It must. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. You say, when is he ever going to get here? There's a warning from Jesus that the wicked would say, the Lord delays his coming. But he doesn't delay his coming. He knows when he's supposed to get here. God will tell him. No man knows the day nor the hour, not even the Son or the angels. God has an hour when everything's going to be unleashed. It could happen right now. It could happen in the next 5 minutes that we just leave. And we're gone instantly. And we see the Father and we get a new body. And now we're beings that could be in outer space or in the spiritual dimension. So notice that three things. It's to John. The goal is for him to get it to the church. And then he tells us about the world and the end times, things that must come to pass. So in verse 2, blessed. I'd like you to circle that word. I've mentioned this, verse 3, I've mentioned this many times, that word is the word we use in English. And the New Testament's written in Greek, and they chose that word. The translation from the Hebrew, a totally different language, uses the same exact thing. You don't see a lot of words in a book that mean the exact thing that's on this side and that side. But let me tell you what, he's revealing Jesus in the midst of the presence, in the midst of the church, even as it goes all the way up to the end, and in the midst of the future things. So the person, that word means blessed. Oh, how happy. Oh, how happy the person. That's what he's saying. That's the blessing. I prayed with Scarlett a couple of nights ago, our 6-year-old granddaughter, Johnny and Sarah's daughter. And when I finished praying, she threw in a couple of cousins from the other side of her family and to pray for her. And then she said, hey, Papa, why do you bless everyone? What do you mean? Well, when you were praying, you would say blessed, and you said Jude and Cole, and you're naming your grandchildren. Why or how do you bless someone? I said, well, God does the blessing. We can proclaim the blessing, and he will honor that. So all your cousins, I want to make sure that all of your cousins, my grandchildren, are going to heaven. So I like them to be blessed by God because it'll keep them in tune with him and his love. Oh, I see. I said, do you really? I think I do see. So I blessed her and said goodnight. Now, one of my granddaughters, when I met her and her sister, they were both small. The littlest one was like 3. And she was, as they used to say, a pistol. She was a wildcat. And they were daughters of my daughter, who was birthed when I was in high school. And this is the first time I ever met him. And I said to my daughter, do you mind if I go in? I kneel down beside the bed with all my kids and lay hands on them. And I just let them go to sleep with a blessing. Oh, yeah, no problem. So they had a little, at this time, a cassette player going with worship music. And it was so quiet and calm and peaceful in their bedroom. And Whitney, who's 23 now, and still that feisty, fun person to be around, she was lying close to me, and her sister Tara was sort of towards the wall. So I said, I'll start praying right now for you, and you can leave the music on. So I went and I took my hand and I put it on the forehead of Whitney. And she said, hey. And I opened my eyes, what? What are you doing? I'm serious. I said, I'm just blessing you. And she had already hit my hand away, and then I said, what? Said, go to your own house and bless yourself. That's the Scottish side, I think, in her. That, go to your own house. All right. So blessed, how happy is a person? And another literal translation is, oh, happy are the people. A blessing also brings to you honor and privilege. And he wants the person that reads this to do something. Blessed is, put your name there on three. We'll all say them out loud together. Ready? Blessed is, one, two, Mike. Ready? One, two, three, Mike. Okay, some of you are going to get blessed. The rest of you, we'll get you some coffee intravenously. Have a little drip right next to your row there. So the person who reads gets blessed. And those who hear get blessed. The words of this prophecy. It's the only place in the Bible that promises this. And keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand, the time is near. Oh, how happy is the person. Oh, another translation, literal, is, oh, it's almost a jealousy. Blessed is the person. Oh, so some people get jealous of blessings. I like to take them all. And if you leave any laying around, I'll take them. So who's to be blessed? You, the hearer, you're reading it, and those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things. Servant John, in verse 2, bore witness to the word of God. See that? He's being blessed for this. Who bore witness to the word of God. Hold your finger or put something on that page. We'll come right back to it. But we can't pass this over. Go to the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Don't you like the sound of the turning of pages?
Amen.
So cool. You people believe in the Bible. God has honored your lives because of that. Now look at this. Verse 1, chapter 1, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. Now this beginning is not connected with Genesis 1:1, but from the beginning was the Word. It was always there. The Word, and the original word is logos, the spoken expression. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, the Word of God. He. All things were made through Him, capital H. And without Him, capital H, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now he's talking about John the Baptist. This man came for a witness. He's going to bear witness. To bear witness of the light, capital L. There's a personality to this light. That all, including your name, all through him might believe. Now John, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the Word did not know him. The world did not know him. He came to his own people, to the Jewish people, and his own did not even receive him. Now look at this. You want to underline this one. Lots of stars. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the second birth, you must be born again. So from the very beginning, the Word was powerful in the kingdom, in creation. And we see he's a person. He was in the beginning with God. And when you stop and you think of Jesus, many of the things that he said, you begin to realize he really was on a mission. And he really is real. And he does want you to go to heaven. I have somebody very close to me that, from their own admission, they don't believe. And they don't believe there's eternity. They don't believe you name it. And they finally quit trying to argue with me and just be a friend. But I did say, you know, we're going to be sad. I don't know if we'll miss you in heaven, but we're going to be sad that we won't be together forever. And that started the mind thinking. What? Well, you don't believe in God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, yeah, but I said, there are no yeah buts. There are a lot of wild yeah buts, maybe in Africa somewhere, but not in San Diego. And that got him pondering. I want you to be there. Where? In heaven. But you're not going to be there where you are right now. So for as many as believed on him, gave he the power to become the sons or the children of God. Jesus has that authority. He's the creator, we realize. And so some people say, well, the devil is a counterpart of God. No, he's not. He doesn't do this. He cannot create a thing. We do know that he created the lie. He created chaos and confusion. But he created nothing. You know that the first word that God, when he created, bara, literally means something was made out of nothing. That's what that word means in the first chapter when you say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Bara, out of nothing he created all this. It's like the Lord met with a college professor that was dissing the students at the university about faith and God. God woke him up in the middle of the night. Said, I want you to call. Scared the dickens out of the professor. I want you to call for a convocation. And you and I, 1 week from the day, will meet outside so that people can hear this debate. And so the professor went on and on about evolution, how there is no God, and it's all by accident. And there was this big bang, and everything kept going out. And then people were raised up into this creation by a lightning bolt infusing into the water where there was some peanut butter and jelly floating around, and he brought all the parts together and it turned into a fish, and the fish transformed into a lizard, we'll say, because he had legs. But it was all evolving. Then the lizard got tired of being on the sand and the beach, so he climbed up a tree and went to sleep and woke up the next morning as a monkey. And then that monkey had an uncle. He was a monkey's uncle. And he and these monkeys, they just got so far into it that they transformed into a person. It all happened. Wow, you know that an ophthalmologist, a man or woman that studies the eyeball, how many years they have to put in school and training just to understand an eyeball? That didn't just happen. If that happened, we'd all be cross-eyed or something, or we'd have one big eye in the middle of our head. Just the eyeball, if you take the hearing and all the little intricate things that are inside your ear and behind your ear, and how God perfectly designed that you could hear. If it was evolved, we would all be saying, what? Or our ear would be on our forehead and our eye would be where their ear is, and we'd be really confused. Because if it evolves, why have we not seen one monkey turn into a person at the San Diego Zoo? Seriously. If it evolves, why did it stop with us? So it's important that you realize Jesus has been unveiled. He has been the revelation of what's to come. The curtain is pulled back. The Wizard of Oz isn't there. It's a story about the future. And he wants you in the future. God blessed you yesterday with life. Today he's blessed you again with life. But tomorrow and the day after, he wants you to be with him every day, all the way until he takes you back home to heaven where you belong. Wonderful thing to understand that. Notice that John was a servant. The servant of God in Revelation 1. The servant of God who bore witness. And that's what you are alive for. Bearing witness to the word of God. And in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. And Jesus said, as many that are my disciples continue in my word. That means if you really are a disciple of the Lord Jesus and you want to be in heaven, and while you're here have all of your sins taken care of, but you have a huge future, tremendous future. So don't leave God out of the equation. How happy, or that other translation, how enviable to be this person. Blessed. How enviable to be somebody that you're not today, but you can be if you're born again. So John, this servant, bearing witness to God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, he told everybody everywhere. And then he said of all things that he saw. Now that's very important in verse 2. Bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus, and to all things that he saw. So he's going to tell you here, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Turn to 1 John. We'll come right back here. 1 John. Right after Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. Now listen to how John writes here. This is the introduction. That which was from the beginning. Remember John 1:1, he wrote, in the beginning was the word. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. See that? Personal. Very personal. His life, the life, was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness, just like it said in Revelation, to bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, this is what we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. He didn't write that you'd be full of joy. That's quantity. He wrote quality. That your joy, not you'd be full of joy, but the joy that you have would be overflowing beyond anything. And he said, we're talking to you because we've seen, we've heard, we've handled the word of life, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and we want you all to come in. For centuries later, after he wrote this, please come. Come to Jesus Christ. It was a break before we came back and in Guatemala. And I'm walking down the street with two of the administrators, and this woman comes running across the street shouting my name. Do you remember me? Yeah, I do. 10 or 15 years ago, I drove every Wednesday night to Newport Beach, and ended Chuck Smith's Thursday night, so I stayed overnight. But these sisters, their family and Greg Laurie's family and our family and other families rented houseboats at Lake Powell. And in the nighttime, we would be getting to sleep, and we could hear all these 20-somethings, probably a dozen of them or more, and they're up to 3 or 4 in the morning looking at the stars, so they say. And they're looking around, but we hear them talking about questions about the Bible, about the Holy Spirit. And I leaned over to Sandy and I said, hey, I should do a Bible study for all these kids. That would really be fun. So the next week, the two sisters call and say, can we come down from Newport and stay at your house and go to church? Absolutely. Come on down. So as they're leaving on Monday, they said, would you pray for us? Absolutely. We've been praying that maybe we should start some sort of a Bible study in our home. So they got 8 of their friends, and we started with 10, like in San Diego, and then it got up to 50. And this is a beautiful home in the harbor at Newport Beach with a huge boat sitting outside the patio at the dock, and the husband and wife saw their daughters change, and their hearts just melted. They remodeled the house in less than a week to expand the living room and the sit-down area by the kitchen. And I looked at that, it was changed. They said, we need to do it. Then it got to about 100, and they brought the contractor back and redesigned the living room and the hallways and the entry and everything so that we could get more 20-somethings in. Got to about 150 people. And I said, please do not, you know, rebuild your house or tear it down, which they would have done. They had neighbors. They said, Mike, our neighbors, we were a little bit upset with all these cars parked out the whole street and blocking us, the whole neighborhood. And then we started saying, well, what's going on? Well, over there at their house, they have some Bible study from a guy from San Diego, and it's just going on. But it's all 20-somethings that are there, and many of their lives are being changed, we hear. And every neighbor said, we're going to leave our driveways open, so when you come to Bible study, tell them they can park in any driveway down the street. Isn't that amazing? So it came to a place that it was just like starting San Diego. Same spirit, same move, just wonderful amounts of love being poured out through the Gospel of Mark that we studied. This woman in Antigua, Guatemala, that came running out of a house, yelling at me, I stopped, and she was one of the girls at that time, 20, I think 21, that had accepted the Lord and became a Christian. And she said, well, you could ask your daughter-in-law, Bethany, that I knew nobody. I was just a good Catholic girl from Boston. And the whole culture of Southern California is completely different, to say the least. And Bethany stood beside me and discipled me and shared the scriptures with me and told me what everything meant. I just want to tell you that I'm one of those people. I said, what an honor. I'm walking down the street and you live here? Yes, right over there. No kidding. Yeah, I'm going to the church that's in the hacienda over there that the Bible school and students are at. Oh, that's right. They have a church, so you know everybody that's here. Yes, no problem. You know, that was very unique. Very unique. I'm sure you all know, but we have to be gentle about this, that my last day will be June 7th. It's a Sunday. And that night we're going to have a barbecue or something out in the back patio and have some fun. It's not a sad thing. And people have misinterpreted. I am not retiring. I don't have any money to retire, so I've had people offer me positions when they heard, but I'm just waiting on the Lord. Sandy and I came here by faith, and we know that we'll leave by faith. We would like to be able to do a few things, but we're not demanding or holding on to anything. The greatest joy of both of our lives next to our children are you, those that God has brought to meet Jesus, and those that want to be strong in the Word. That's what we've lived for the last 41 years. There's no other agenda. It was not getting rich doing speaking engagements or anything. We're just thrilled that God has allowed us to be a part of what He has done through your lives. It's an honor, just a pure honor, like that young woman coming. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm so hard on myself. I beat myself up really well. I could never hurt a flea, but when it comes to me, man, I wake up, that pillow's beat me up 4 or 5 times, you know. And I realize the greatest thing we have next to God is our family. And then next to that would have to be our friends. And after that, it should be whatever your ministry is. God will unveil that to you. We have been a blessed people. In the history of San Diego, no one has so far been able to pinpoint anything like He has done through you and the people that have been here and discipled and gone on. It's a miracle. It's just a miracle. And the Lord has something new, and this is nothing to do with nepotism. Somebody told me, Mickey Stonier, when he said that he was going to leave. I thought Mickey and I would, you know, be like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid coming out of the bank, boom, 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 shooting everybody. And he said, it's very obvious that Philip's going to be the pastor. I said, what? He said, well, it's obvious. He's going to be the pastor and you don't need me. I said, what? I never thought of that. And then other people came and other people, and then the Lord started letting new churches pop up around us. And I just want to thank you for the privilege to be in your presence and for all the prayers that many of you have given, all the fruit that's waiting in heaven for you. It's going to be amazing. Utterly amazing. Wonderful, to say the least. Okay, let's move on with this because I can see you need to get ready to go. John, to the seven churches. So he's going to talk to the churches. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. That's what you want to be. Well done, good and faithful servant. You want to work on being a faithful witness. The firstborn from the dead, the resurrection power, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. A king, a priest to God. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Now we have a promise. It's the only book in the Bible that gives a promise, but it's what's known as a conditional promise. You will inherit this blessing or receive the fullness of this promise that God has given under the condition of. So in verse 3, very important that you get blessed for reading. So now I got blessed, I'm reading. And then I get blessed because I hear myself talking. And then you get blessed because you hear me reading. And you get blessed because you are reading. Then you get the third blessing because you are hearing. And I look at all of you and I probably get another blessing for something. I don't know what, but I'm more blessed than you are. That's what it says there. So I'm reading. I did this in China one time, and there were three different translators for three different languages. So it went from English to this college student in Mandarin and then Fukienese and some other third dialect in China. So I realized I got blessed for reading. Then I got blessed for hearing my own word read, my own voice. And then I got blessed again when this person translated, and the next person translated that language. That's four blessings. And then the third person down the line, I get the blessing for him reading it and speaking it, so hearing it, and I've read it all three times with them. I walked away that night with maybe 15 blessings. It was just amazing. In fact, we were in high-rise towers in Hong Kong, and people wanted to hear the Word of God. So I was up on the 30th floor or something like that. Sandy and I were there. We met the people. It was a one room with bunk beds in it, seriously, and then a little kitchenette. Everybody squeezed together in these types of buildings. So we're sitting there, and they said, just a moment, our worship team will come and worship. Well, there's about 20 people in there. There wasn't any room to do anything. All of a sudden, an entire choir with robes from the local Baptist church had come to do the worship, and they all got in the very middle and squeezed in with their purple robes and that white around them. And I said, this is going to be fun. And we worshiped, and I got blessed. And then I read and I got blessed, and I listened to the questions and I got blessed, and then I gave the answers from the Word. I just loved that for 3 days, three nights in a row. Went from high rise to high rise. People sat at the door with it wide open, and hundreds of Chinese people were all down the hall sitting on both sides, down the stairwell exit, and the people closest to the door would turn around to the people next to them, tell them what's being said. And then they'd tell the next 5 or 10 people on each side. I think I walked away with 78 and a half blessings that night. It was just so wonderful. God loves to bless you. He does. He loves to bless you. He's a generous Father. He loves to give to you. And he's a very studious Father. He wants you to learn things, so he, as a teacher, will help you learn these things. Don't forget that you're a blessed woman. You're a blessed man. That God loves you. He's not angry with you. He's not going to beat you up when he sees you. He just loves you. And so he wants you to be blessed. So inherit these blessings by the conditions. And the condition is this: keep those things which are written in here, because the time is near. Only book in the Bible to give that blessing to those who read and to those who hear. In verse 4, John now talks to the seven churches. Grace to you and peace. Notice grace and peace. All the way from the beginning of the New Testament to the book of Revelation, you never see peace and grace. Because one can't have peace unless they have God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. He favors you. But you haven't earned it. So these are called the Siamese twins. You always see peace in your life, in the Bible, when grace comes first. That you don't deserve the blessings that God has for you. But his grace allows you to be born again and forgiven of your sins. And then when you know that your battle is over inside, the peace of God that passes all understanding, the Bible says, will rule in your heart. It'll guide you. It'll bless you. It'll encourage you. So be blessed this morning and know how much God really loves you. Then in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and that's what you want to be. I'm going to be heading back to northern Iraq. And we're going over there now. The introductions have all been made, and now we're going second phase to actually do what we're going to do over there. And I'm so excited that I was invited back, because I know that we were able to bless many of the leaders. And God honored that we spoke his word and his name to the leaders, Muslim or non-Muslim, of how great God is. So the invitation has come that we come back, and then if you want to go and do something, we're going to make it open for whoever, but we'll have to vet you and see what you're up to. We're going to need carpenters and nurses and doctors and dentists. We're going to need people that could buy some new clothes for the little kids. We're going to do our best to start a Horizon K through 12 in the camp. It's like a city. One of them has 40,000 in it. They want to learn English, so maybe some of you could go and teach English as a second language. It's very easy. You just teach from the Bible, and it's all laid out for you, and you teach how to speak English from it. Some of you may want to do that and spend some time over there doing that. Safety. It's safe. These ISIS people, they've been driven out of a couple of villages and towns, cities last week. And Mosul, Nineveh, where Jonah was, that is going to be a big battle coming up here shortly. And they're going to go through Mosul door by door, Mosul, and boot them and give that city back to the people who own it. But yet, the Kurdish people are defending the Christians. And they need to be honored for that. The UN hasn't come in to protect them. But it's peaceful. And the Peshmerga, the army for Kurdistan, guards and protects everything. And everybody in the Middle East knows, if you want to be safe, you've got to get to Kurdistan. And they're accepting them from Lebanon and from Syria and other countries. So if you want to go, you can call and give a number. I'll call you back, and we will have a meeting with all that want to go. There are people in other churches that definitely want to go. And what an honor to help these people. And my goal is these girls that were kidnapped, raped, sold to the slave traders, that they could get their mentality back, they have their minds back. What a shame they live under, that they weren't married, and they'll be marked the rest of their lives if they stay where they are. So that's what I'm hoping, that we can help bring some from there to here and to live amongst us and be looked after until they can get on their feet. So that's one of the things we'll be doing in the next few weeks. Grace and peace, and we'll finish with this. And this is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Grace to you and peace from him who is, was, and is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Now you know that. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, says that Jesus has a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. And this is what he's saying here, that the Lord is over all kings, and he can turn their hearts in a second. But he, to him who loved us, very important, I don't want to leave with this thought misunderstood. Look very carefully, the end of verse 5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's not a really good translation. Loved, washed, that's past tense. The words actually translate ongoing. Who is washing us every day, every hour, and who is loving us. It isn't past tense that he loved you. No, this love keeps going on and on and on. He's in the process of washing your sins. He's in the process every day loving you. So God's love does not stop. And you say, well, I remember a long time ago when I accepted Jesus. Well, why a long time ago? Well, what about an hour ago? So would you just mark those two words and then think about it later? Past tense, washed. No, it's washing. It just goes on. And then past tense, love. No, he didn't stop loving you. He's continually loving you. The love of God is so beautiful. Notice the Lamb of God. And then verse 6, he has made us kings and priests to God, his Father. That's what God has done for you and me. He has blessed us. Beyond all things, he has blessed us. The Bible says that an eye has not seen, ear has not heard, never has entered into the heart of the understanding of a human, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So there isn't anything that you've seen that's beautiful, that is more beautiful than what is waiting for you. There is no sound or music that you've ever heard, or poem somebody read, that can outpace what is going on in heaven that you'll hear there. Never has anyone imagined something as blissful, full of glory and splendor, the things that God has prepared for those men and women and children that love him. It's beyond all get out. There's a Potter's Field. At least it's like a hacienda, and their students live there for $20 a day. They commit a year of their life. 6 months of it is there, and then the other is working in at a ranch up in Montana, and then you go somewhere for a few weeks and back to your church. And Mike Rozelle said, hey, I want to show you my neighbor. See, I know you've been to places like this, but in Central America, Mexico, they have walls and then a small door or a big door. But behind those walls that are so high are $3, $4, and $5 million houses. And there's one that he pointed out to me that, see that, just two doors there? Yeah, but there's four houses in the property. There's that much, yeah. So he says, I want to show you my neighbor. And we went up and got on this little mound and looked over the fence. He has a helipad, a helicopter. He comes from somewhere and lands with his helicopter right there. Now that guy's blessed when the prices of fuel are down. He's blessed. Some material wealth, blessed. Live on top of Mount Soledad, blessed. Live at the beach with your house right there, the waves coming up, blessed. Right? Driving whatever car would be the ultimate car for you, blessed. Your dresses and your suits and your watches and your rings and everything so expensive and posh, blessed. But nobody can even imagine the blessings that are waiting for you when you get to heaven. Kay Smith said the day that Chuck Smith died, I was at their house, and she said, "But Mike, why did God take Chuck first? The people need him. I should have gone first." And she was really emotionally into this. She was weeping. I said, "Look, the Lord knows how much you love Chuck. So whatever happens, who goes to heaven first or anything, God wants you to have the best. And Chuck's love for you is so fantastic that God knew, and Chuck knew, that so many people from around the world would like to hug him, welcome him. He led hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord, touched tens of millions of people's hearts." I said, "So there'd be so many people there, and you know Chuck, he'll hug everyone till the last one's finished. And then when that's all over, the Lord will bring you, because Chuck will have already greeted everybody, and he'll be at the gate waiting for you, and there'll be nobody to interrupt." "Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's true, but..." But when you get down and you beat yourself up, just remember that what God has prepared for you, the most beautiful sunset does not compare to it. Catching the best wave ever doesn't compare. Making $1 million doesn't compare. You've never ever heard what you're going to hear in heaven. There'll be no alarms going off and people's phones in heaven. Nobody has ever dared to imagine beyond our understanding is the furthest that we can go in our imagination. It's how we understand the world around us up to this point. But God has something no human imagination could even get hold of. So spend this week thanking God. Thanking him for whatever comes to your heart. Thank him. Bless him back. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us dangling over a cliff, but you brought Jesus back to Patmos. And John was able to hear him and see him. And he could imagine into the future. We thank you that it didn't stop at the tomb or at him leaving earth from the Mount of Olives, but that he has something for us to look towards to busy our hearts and our minds while we are alive. So we know, Father, from the things in the Middle East that are going on, I know you're not happy with that. And we pray for protection. Because what are we good for if we're not keeping our promises? We've gone the way of all of those, Lord, that went astray as nations in the Old Testament. We're begging your mercy. And we pray that we could be used by you to bring tremendous glory to you. Now, Father, there are people standing before you. And I pray a blessing upon them. Lord, that you would heed their prayers. Lord, that you would put your hand upon their shoulder. Let them just relax and realize everything's okay. You're going to handle it. Bless these homes. Any strife in these homes, bitterness, tension, I pray that you would air them out. Open up the spiritual windows and doors and just let all the pieces of complaining and murmuring and backbiting and disrespect just go out. Fill every home represented here with the joy of the Lord. It'd be a fullness in their joy that would counteract any negative that would want to come inside their home. Provide for those that are in need. Just give them encouragement, Lord. That's all they need. And then we pray, Father, for protection from the devil and his evil spirits. And allow us, Lord, as a team, as a body, to do things for you. And I pray, Father, for Philip, you would bless his heart. You have shown him so much as a little boy, and he knows that you have blessings for this congregation, and he has a servant's heart. So we pray your blessings upon Bethany and Philip and Jude and Cole and Jax. Bless their family. We pray, Lord, for every family here, that you would help those that are in need and whose hearts are broken this morning because of a brother or a grandchild that has gone astray. Help. Now I pray for your love to just seal their hearts, that it would just flow from their lives without any effort at all. Lord, we pray for all those, thousands of young girls and children that were kidnapped and sold to slave traders. For the 300 that we found, we pray, Lord, that you would allow us as a church to help them. I pray you'd raise up school teachers that could take a week or two. We pray that we could help these downtrodden people that don't have a dollar or a penny to their name, but they have some pretty dirty and ugly pictures trapped in their mind. And as we are going now into freedom, we acknowledge them sitting on that hill in those tents on a hot day. Would you bless them? Would you encourage them? Would you provide everything that they have need of? And we pray that you will bless this second trip to help certain agencies and departments to understand you and how you heal troubled hearts. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, there are some here right now that you forgot about God's depth of love, the breadth of his love, and the length of his love, and that he has heaven waiting. You've walked away from his blessings. You know that you've done what's not right. But we're here today to say God will forgive you, and that God loves you. And for those of you that are in that situation, just simply say to God, and you can follow me, dear God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to allow me to come back home to you. God, I'm sorry that I have sinned and transgressed your word, and I've hurt other people, and I pray for them that they would forgive me. Just receive Jesus and all of his grace, and peace will follow. And if that's your prayer, that you have been away from him, but you want back, would you just look up at me and raise your hand? I'd like to remember you this day in prayer. Yes, right here. I see you, ma'am. Yeah. I see you right there in the last row. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes, I see you right there. Yes, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Three of you right there. Anybody else? Just let go and let God. Lord, you've seen these. Oh, yes, sir. I see you right there. You've seen those that have reached out to you right now. And we pray that you'll just take their heart in your hand. Just bless them right now with your love and forgiveness. And because your grace is sufficient for them, may they now receive that peace that is so needed after their hearts being stirred up by the flesh. Bless these that have said this hour, I want to be back with Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. And when one sinner repents, Jesus said, all the angels rejoice. Confetti's all over heaven right now because of those of you that raised your hand. Welcome back to the Lord.